038 Bible Study, 16th of May 2012.
So who's preaching tonight?
Well, I can start it off.
Oh, well, there you go. Mm-hmm. Now that Bishop Grace is going to start off ministry tonight.
Mm-hmm. It's just that verse that I mentioned on Sunday. Out of my NRSV, New Revised Standard Version, it just stands out so great. And I thought, well, I've got to read this again.
What
is it again? It's Isaiah chapter 8. If we go back to chapter 7 first, and then verse 9, and it's the second part of the verse in my version, it says, if you do not stand firm in faith, you shall not stand at all. And I think that's really power-packed, that. It lets us know where the battle is. We can't be weak and wimpy. It's stand firm in faith, and then you're standing, and then you'll see it. There's no compromise here. We can't do two things. And in the chapter 6, Isaiah is talking about go and say. And the power of our words just comes over so forcibly in chapter 6, 7, 8 and 9. And then in chapter 8 and verse 13, it says, but the Lord of hosts, him you shall regard as holy. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. He will become a sanctuary, a stone one strikes against. And what spoke to me very forcibly about that was, I think Isaiah was saying to them, don't fear what you're facing. Just have a reverential fear for God and forget it. That's battle's over. Stand, have a reverential fear for God, and don't be afraid of what the conspiracy that is against you. Just don't be afraid of what's facing you. Have confidence in God and fear him. Choose. What will you fear? Will you fear God, or will you fear what's facing you? And that's what spoke very forcibly to me. And I think we just do need, well, I know for me, we cannot compromise a situation. If God says it, that's the end of it, that's it. And we just need to stand on that word and speak it out, because our words are powerful. So it's the power of the positive there, isn't it? Saying what God says and not believing what stands against us.
I think, isn't it Jesus that said, fear him that can cast your soul into hell? You know, you've got to fear God, not man. But we do fear circumstances and man and all sorts.
Instead of having this... Well, I think the challenge here is, you're afraid of what's facing you, but you should be more afraid of not believing what God says, because he's awesome. And you should have so much fear for God and respect for God and his word, but that takes priority over the fear that the devil's trying to bring against you.
If you're fearing the problem or situation you're in, though, you're more likely to act on instinct as well.
Yes, you are. Yeah.
But if you think about it, pray about it, and think about God as well, you're more likely to come to, well, the correct decision, because you can think you're... Think about your reaction rather than because if you react on fear, that's when you react.
It is, yeah.
And it's likely to be wrong, because I've done it a few times.
Yeah, me too.
You know, and I've learned. I mean, I'm glad to say I've learned a big lesson on it. But my goodness, when you're facing a situation and you pray or you just think about God, and you've got that faith in him, by what, how it lifts you.
It
and
does.
You think, then you think about making that decision, and it just the whatever situation it is, you just think, now it's amazing what power you have.
It is. And I love Philippians chapter 1. Verse chapter 1 and verse 27 you can go from.
Mm-hmm.
Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith in the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And if the devil sees that you're not intimidated by the situation, then he's lost it, and he knows he's lost it, and he knows that you're confident, and he can't do anything to steal that confidence away from you. So your victory is sure. And that's how we've got to get to that point. And we've won, haven't we? Even if the situation hasn't changed, when we get to that point of absolute confidence, knowing that you know that you know that you know, and you can't, at that point, the devil can't intimidate you, because he's out of the frame. He's irrelevant. You're not taking any notice of him. Your eyes just fixed. And you're not moving.
When you were talking at first, Grace, I was thinking about the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness and they were in the promised land, and God said he'd deliver them, but they got to fight, sort of thing, and he'd deliver them. And I think, well, why didn't they believe him? But when you come to think, on hindsight, we've seen the end of what happened.
I know.
So, I mean, we know what happened, so of course you can say, why didn't they believe God? I mean, I could say, somebody would say to me, well, why don't you believe God then? Well, what's happening in your life? You know, because he's sorted that out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really, you know, thinking, oh, they should have believed him better. But, you know,
it's easy for us to judge, isn't it? And it's easy for us to say about somebody else's situation, forgetting how long it took me and you and others in a particular situation to get to that point of, I'm through with this.
Yeah.
It's finished. I've won. But actually clawing your way up and hanging on with your fingernails and, you know, falling down and climbing up again. It really does, it is a challenge, but I think we need to encourage ourselves that is possible. And I'm encouraged by when, you know, what Bill's, the change in Bill, and how he says the change has only come about because he's got into the Word more, he's been listening to it and spending more time. And that is the only way our level of faith is going to get to the pitch it needs to be. Because it doesn't come by any easy route.
Peace comes by absorbing peace, and the only way to absorb peace is to look at the ingredients that make it. And love is the main one, because it's everything's wrapped up in that. But sometimes we lose sight of that, because we're in the midst of the panic of the situation. But we just lose sight of the foundations, the root things that bring us to where we want to be.
Because if the devil can get you panicking, it's a downward spiral, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Thing is as well, what you've got to think of as well, sometimes you can be in a situation and it will bring you to fear. That's going to happen. You can't say, you can say you're going to keep at peace, but something could happen. But what you've got to think as well is try and keep your peace and think, well, you've got to pray about it, and even then keep your peace in the midst of turmoil. That really spoke to me as well when I've heard Joyce Mayer say that, keep the peace in the midst of turmoil, whatever, you've got to keep the peace. And I think think if you do that, whatever situation you're in, you think, I will get out of this because God's with me. You know, if you just keep that in your head, that mm-hmm. God's with me, then you'll, because you can rest and know that you, well, you feel peaceful in Mr. Turmoil, that's what I'm saying, you're going to feel it.
But you also know, don't you, that whatever's facing you is never as big as the God that's with you.
No, if you just rest in that, it's amazing just how you can get through it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're to realise that our faith comes from God. And when we realise that the, as we read the Word of God, then coming from God is not just the Word, but it's coming from Him, His faith.
Yeah, yeah.
And creates that faith creates life in us.
Yeah, it does.
That faith begins to build us and to equip us, to make us stronger. That faith helps us in the process of our changing, in the renewing of our minds.
Yeah.
And we've said it for years, it's the Word of God that changes us.
Yes.
Romans 12, verses 1, 2 and 3 talks there about the renewing of your mind. And the renewing of your mind comes through, the only way it comes, the only way it can happen is through the Word of God.
Faith comes by hearing.
And faith comes by hearing.
Yeah.
Hearing what?
The word of God.
That's right. And so when we hear the Word of God, our faith is being built up and you and I are changing. We won't see the process immediately, we don't see it immediately, but all of a sudden we see that we've changed. So the process of growing in faith and growing in God is all done by the Word of God.
Yeah.
Without the Word of God, we don't grow. The Word of God is like the soil is to a plant. Mm-hmm. And the Word of God is like water to a fish. Without it, you can't live. And our faith cannot live, survive and exist without the Word of God. Now, there are a lot of Christians who think it can, because they just dip into it occasionally, once a week, maybe twice a week, and think it's enough. Well, you try dipping a fish into water once or twice a week and see how long that lasts.
Yeah.
You keep going down the garden and digging a plant up and saying, I'll put you back in a few days' time, but for now you can just stay out, and then pop it back in the garden again and leave it there just for a little while and then take it out again. What will happen to them? They'll all die. They'll all wither up and die. With a plant it'll be a slower process. And in the same way, that's what happens to people who say they believe in God and they've got a faith in God, that they just keep dipping in, and the thing is their faith is being drained and weakened until in the end they have no faith in God.
Isn't the Word food for our soul, our spirit?
Yeah, the Word is food to us. You see, this Word is not just letters on a page.
It's alive.
This Word of God is alive. It's a mystery to the mind, but it is food to the soul.
Yeah, it is.
It is life to the spirit, because the words that are spoken here have come from the Spirit of God.
Mm.
So it is words to our spirit. And when the Word of God begins to minister to us, it says it will quicken our mortal bodies.
Yeah.
It will quicken our minds. It will change our thinking.
Mm.
And as it begins to change our thinking, so our approach to life changes, the things we do change, we change as a person. And the Word changes us because it changes us into the image of God.
Yeah.
That is the intention, what God has. God intends to restore back to paradise.
He does.
What was done in the garden,
yeah.
God intends to restore back to that.
Yeah.
That is His ultimate goal. Because when He created all of that, He said it was good. He said, in fact, it was very good.
Mm-hmm.
So if God was pleased with it, then God's intention is, what God made, God is not intending to just scrap and do away with.
No.
He intends to restore that balance and that creation, that he wants to bring it back to its life again. Mm-hmm. You consider the lepers. They had limbs missing, but they weren't always like that. They started off whole. Mm-hmm. And then this sickness, this disease came upon them, and they began to lose part of their limbs and part of their bodies through this wasting sickness. But when Jesus came in on the scene, when the word of God came, they were made whole and they were restored back to their original state of perfectness, wholeness. This is what Jesus wants to do. This is what God wants to do. And the devil does not want you and I to believe that.
I've been reading that book again. We did on this evening's sessions last year, called A Better Way to Pray. And the point in it where the author, Andrew Womack, is saying, and when I told God I'm going to pray for a whole hour every day, God says to them, is that it? Is that all I'm getting? But he says, at present, I've got you for far longer than that. While ever you're in the Word, you're effectively praying. While ever you're ministering, you're effectively praying. While so almost everything you do that relates to me, you are praying. But now you're going to reduce it to an hour a day.
Yeah, because really, we live 24/7. But you see, prayer is, as we've said and others have said, prayer is a conversation. It's been termed prayer, but it's a conversational relationship that we have with God, and being in the Word.
That's meditation.
Just part of it. It's meditating on the Word. It's part of the life. Our life should be a life of prayer.
Mm.
What does that mean? It means it's a life that's lived as unto God.
Yeah.
It's lived in relationship. That Grace and I work in two separate offices, and just because we work in two separate offices for 7-8 hours, does that mean we never speak to each other for the next 7-8 hours? No. We'll call out to one another through the office, or we'll walk through and chat. And so the relationship is going on right through those 8 hours, all the time. And in the same way, God's with us 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
He's always switched on.
Mm-hmm.
His ear is always listening. His voice is already ready to speak to us. It's you and I that need to just keep the connection going. I've got this little book here, 365 Days of Power. I don't read it every day, so I must be, I'm missing out. But today is May the 16th, and I've just turned to May the 16th. And you know, we're under the pressure at the moment. We're having as we move out into some missions work. But the title is "Put Your Foot Down." Put your foot down. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. And he says in Hebrews 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope,
yes,
without wavering.
Amen.
For he who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. He's not going, he not might be faithful, he not maybe will be faithful. He says he already is faithful. He's not trying to be faithful, he already
is faithful. He's not trying to achieve to the level of faithfulness. He's already faithful. He is there. That is him. God is faithful. It's like the word God is love. He's not trying to love you. He's not trying to be love. He is the very essence of love. He's the very essence of faith.
Yes.
How can we be like him? We've already been talking about it. Spending the time with him. The more time we spend with him, the more we become like a person. The more we know a person. The more time Grace spends with me, the more she knows me. She knows what I'm going to do next, before I do it. She knows how I react, probably, to certain circumstances and situations. So if I can ever react in another way, that, you know, I'll surprise her. Differently, you see. But you see, she at this time, she already knows how I react and how I respond. And in the same way, we need to let that faith and that faithfulness of God, we need to realise and know how God will react in circumstances and situations. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today and forever. He changes not. He says in verse 22, it says, let us draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith.
Amen. Oh.
Let us draw near with a sincere heart. Don't be half-hearted about what you're doing. Have some passion about it. Decide Amen. You're going to go the whole way. Be sincere in your approach to God. Draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith.
Yeah.
Having our hearts sprinkled and clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water.
Mm-hmm.
You see, this is what faith does for us. This is what the Word of God does for us. It washes us, it cleanses us, it cleans our conscience. We're not seared with a hot iron. We're tender. And we're washed with the pure word of God. And it begins to change our lives. And as that word washes over us, our confessions change.
Yeah, they do.
So often you can hear negative confessions from so many people these days, even Christians. But yet the word is not like that. The word says, hold fast. Stand fast. Ephesians says, when you've done everything,
stand.
Stand. When you've done everything, stand. But what else can I do, Lord? Stand. But surely there's something else I could do. No, just stand. Sometimes, you see, we think we've not done enough. Because sometimes we think we have to prove to God. You don't have to prove anything to God. God already knows where you're at right now. He knows where I'm at right now.
Mm.
See, so who are we proving it to? Must be to ourselves, really. But you see, God wants you to realise that it's standing fast in his faith. It's standing fast and being faithful to him. And knowing that he is the one who's doing what he's doing, and he is doing the work in you and in me. He's doing it. You see, so often we think we're doing it. Oh, listen, what? Yeah, you only did what you did because God was in you. It's God flowing through you.
Mm-hmm.
Now that should encourage you in the sense that you say, wow, I've got closer to God. And I was going to say, and God's got closer to me. No, we've allowed God to get closer to us. You see, we're the ones who are trying to set the distances. There are people who said, God, this far and no further. God, you can have this much of me, but no more. In the Billy Graham Crusades, they used to sing "All to Jesus, I surrender. All to Him I freely give." But I'll tell you this, there is very few Christians that have kept the promise to that song. When they sang that before God, they were making a vow before God Almighty, and they've not yet fulfilled their vow.
It's true.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. Well, if you've done that, then guess what? You own diddly squat. You own nothing. You don't own yourself even. Because you said all. All means everything. All means you don't hold anything back. All means there is nothing left of me to give. It's gone. And all there is Jesus. And when we start to realize that, then, hey, I'm talking to myself. Talking to myself on it, because it is, it's all to Him. I freely give. Letters, verse 23, hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. I thank God that we serve a faithful God.
Amen.
We don't serve a God who thinks, oh, I had a late night last night, I think I'll just, I'll give today a miss. I'll leave them as they are for the day. I just
stop in bed.
Oh, a little slumber, a little sleep. And but thank God that He's not moved in that way. Because I tell you what, if He had a day off,
we'd be in trouble.
Well, the universe would be in trouble. And certainly we would be in trouble. But, no. God's eye is always upon what is going off.
Well, I know we said about before about that prodigal son, but I never thought until somebody said it the other day. I was listening to somebody and they said something, and they said that the father ran to the son. I thought, we can't imagine God running to a child, one of us, can you? But I mean, it is that, it's about God. And I can't imagine God running to, I mean, God running to one of us. Well, you just can't believe it.
But think about it, if you go right back to Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Who came into the garden?
God
came into the garden to have communion and relationship with Adam and Eve. God came looking for them when they were hiding themselves. So, take that point, bring it to the prodigal. Same thing.
Do you know there's a scripture that comes to mind now? I think it's in Timothy, when we become faithless, He remains
faithful.
He cannot deny Himself.
No.
He's written it, He's said it, He's spoken it.
He's only found.
And that cannot be changed.
No.
And maybe we ought to take note of that, that God cannot deny Himself.
No.
Why should we deny Him? Why should we deny Him?
Yeah.
Put your foot down. Verse 24 of this says, it's another, let us. It's you and I have to put this into action. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. It's about action. It's about you and me. Let us draw near. That's an action. Let us hold fast. Holding fast. It's an action. It's a doing, isn't it? You're grabbing hold of something. You're taking hold of something. There's action there. It's you and I who've got to do something about this. God's already done all He's going to do.
Yes.
He has made provision all along the way.
Yeah. Yes.
Now it's time that we connect with Him.
Yeah.
Now it's time that we get involved with Him. He's already involved with us and we can't see it at times. Because we become so clouded by the other things around us.
Yeah, we do.
By the things of the world, we're distracted by these things. Because the devil's waving something in front of us.
Oh, I tell you.
Distracting you.
Yeah.
And you see, that our thing is that we think that today is important. In fact, sometimes we think today is more important than anything else. And we think that we are more important than anything else at times. Now, yes, we are important to God. Don't get me wrong. But the most important thing about our life, for our success, for our peace, is our relationship first with the Father.
Yeah.
Everything comes from the throne room, believe it or not. When Job went through his troubles, they were allowed via the throne room. You might say, well, I don't want God doing that to me. Well, you may miss a double blessing. You may miss a double portion. What we've so often portrayed with Job, it is portrayed as if it was a long, extended, protracted period of time. Possibly no more than 18 months. And after that time, he's faithful during all of that period of time, and he receives a double blessing in all things that he previously had.
I think Joyce says we get double for our trouble.
Well, there you go. Isaiah, I think. Well, certainly Job got double for his trouble. And his trouble was the fact that he was faithful and righteous before God.
God knew he wouldn't waver.
And God knew he wouldn't waver. You see, he put his foot down.
He did.
Mm.
I like to get double for the trouble.
Well, there you go.
You're in for a big blessing, girl.
If you want double for your trouble, then the way to get double for your trouble is to stay in this book, to stay in this word, to stay in relationship, to stay in fellowship. And I'll tell you this, the enemy will back off. Yeah. God will bring provision, and yeah, God will make a way where there has been no way made.
Yeah.
There's a prayer in this book. It says, my prayer for today, Lord, I have tolerated the devil's lies long enough. Today I am making this decision to put my foot down. I'm going to tell the enemy to shut his mouth.
Amen.
And flee from me.
Amen.
I have made my choice that I will stand by your promise and will never retreat from what you have told me to believe and confess. You are not a man that you should lie.
No.
I believe your word to be true for my life.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, give me the strength I need to stay fixed, immovable, and steadfast until I finally see the manifestations of those things that I believe. I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That's not a bad prayer.
No.
It's a strong prayer. And then there's a confession for the day. I confess that I do not waver or bend, and that I am fixed and unmovable as I stand on the promises of God. What God promises, he will perform. It may take a while for that promise to come to manifestation, but I know it will, so I know it is on the way right now. I dig my heels, I drive down my stakes, and I tell the devil that I am not going to move from my position of faith. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
I've got to set his mind and keep it set.
There is a scripture. He whose mind stayed on him.
26, I think.
Have your mind stayed on God?
I'll keep him in perfect peace.
Yeah.
Whose mind
is stayed on him. Mm. You see, if we let our minds wander on other things, on circumstances that we're in, we can head for disaster. We can head for sickness and disease. We can head for a hospital ward. Our minds can go crazy. That's why the Word of God says, cast all your care upon me. Because I care for you, he says. And by casting all the care upon him, it's like, well, Lord, I don't know what to do. But I do know you do know what to do, God. And so I cast it, I hurl it onto you and ask that you deal with this. And you put your foot down and say, I'm not moving from my faith level. I'm not moving because I know God can do all things. And that in me I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But the strength that we get comes out of the Word.
Yeah.
It doesn't come out of just looking at the troubles and the trials of the world. It doesn't come out of trying to change things at times in the world. It comes out of spending time in the presence of God, because God is a God of miracles.
Mm.
He changes circumstances. He changes situations. When all the odds were stacked against the children of Israel,
mm-hmm.
God just tipped the balance.
Yeah.
And often it wasn't anything dramatic that seemed to be done by God. I suppose when Elisha was being surrounded by all this great big army, and God just said, be blind. And they went blind. There was no big hoo-ha, there was no big flashes of lightning, and they just went blind.
Was it Daniel where he turned everything to salt? Wasn't it?
Sodom. Was it Sodom?
Sodom, yeah.
When Lot's wife
salt,
turned, and she looked back, and she was... God warned them and said, you know, do not look back.
Mm-hmm.
That's a warning to us.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look back. Because what you came from is a stinking mess.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going to? Paradise. That's your destiny.
Yep.
Where you've come from, it stinks.
The thing is as well, if you don't look back as well, it's amazing no matter how bad it is, how God changes it.
Yeah.
For your good, it's more likely to do that. I mean, you might have to learn a lesson or something, but it's more likely to turn it around for good.
Absolutely.
Keep your faith in God.
Yeah. It's true, Christine.
Keep your eyes on God. He's the author
and
finisher of your faith.
In Hebrews 10 and verse 35, and a few verses after that, it says, do not therefore abandon your confidence. It brings a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a little while, the one who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one will live by faith. My soul takes no pleasure in anyone who shrinks back. But we are not among those who shrink back and so are lost, but among those who have faith and so are saved. I mean, you may well be talking about faith in God and salvation there, but the same applies with the promises of God.
Mm-hmm.
If we let go of it and shrink back,
mm-hmm.
we're not going to get it, are we?
You can't move
when
you're like that.
No?
Yeah. You tie God's hands, you tie yourself to the situation that you're in. And people who are shrinking back, is it the backsliders? Is it people whose faith has grown cold?
Mm.
You see, your faith grows cold by the fact that you're not spending time in the Word.
Yeah.
It's the old thing of removing a piece of coal off a fire, or a piece of burning wood and putting it on its own, and the flame and the wood and the coal will actually die. It will go out.
Mm-hmm.
But immediately that you put it back into the fire, it's rekindled. And so it's keeping that relationship going all the time, because in that relationship it breathes life.
Yeah.
It brings freedom, brings justice and deliverance, and faith rises in such a way. And as it says there in verse 39 of Hebrews 10, but we are not of those who shrink back to destruction.
Yeah.
So obviously, if we allow our faith to shrink, if we allow our faith to weaken, and the Word of God is intimating there, but if we do that, we're on the road to destruction.
Mm.
Each and every one of us.
Mm.
Mm. But of those who have faith to the persevering of the soul, we've got to persevere.
Yeah.
We have to run the race, Paul says in another part of Scripture says, run the race.
Mm.
It's not about crossing the line first. It's purely and simply run the race. It's not about how fast did you do it. You know, it's not like the marathon. Hebrews 12:1. It's not like the marathon, and you cross that line first, and yeah, you've won the marathon. There were people who were still doing the marathon some days later, weren't there?
Mm-hmm.
On crutches, etc. On prosthetic limbs.
Mm-hmm.
Running this race. But she stayed there.
Mm-hmm.
And she kept going until she crossed the finishing line.
Yeah.
The determination.
Mm-hmm.
She had faith in what she was doing. Now, hang on, if somebody can have faith in these limbs, that they're going to finish this race. They're not running this race against time. The achievement is, I am going to do this. I am going to finish this. Because at the end of it, there is the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I run this race, we're being cheered on, as it says in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, glory to God. The saints in glory are cheering you on, saying, come on, keep going, keep moving towards that finishing line.
I always think Betty's cheering on.
Yeah, my mum's there, all right.
Come on.
She'll be hoarse nearly, my mum, at times, cheering us on.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, the not long after she died, I remember one or two Sundays when we were in worship and I actually heard her singing with us again. I actually looked round to see where she was because I could hear her. It was really unusual. But it says we're surrounded by a great host of witnesses. So let us, again, let us.
Yeah.
Not let somebody else.
Mm-mm.
Let us. See, it's about us. It's about you.
Mm.
Paul's including himself. He says, let us. Let me. Change it slightly. Let me lay aside everything that encumbers me. And sin which so easily entangles me.
Mm.
And let me run with endurance.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't say run to win. Does it? Doesn't say run to win. This is a long race.
There's a good definition here of that. Patient continuance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Patient continuance. Let us run the race with endurance, with patience, continually running the race that is set before me. You could actually even change that a little bit more if you want. You could say, let Andrew also lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles Andrew, and let Andrew run with endurance the race that is set before Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
You can put your name in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's about you. This book is a personal book. It's a personal writing that God has written to you as an individual as well. It's conversation. Conversation's prayer. Prayer's conversation. Whichever way you want to look at it. It's this 24/7 relationship that you can have. Verse 2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter, the finisher of our faith.
Yeah.
Running this race of endurance will perfect and finish our faith. Your faith, my faith, is not yet perfected. Thank God. Because if it was, I'd be in a bit of a mess. So it's been perfected. It's been finished. My faith is in the process of being finished and perfected. Is yours?
Yeah.
As long as we are in relationship with the Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, then our faith is being perfected. And without a relationship, our faith is not being perfected. The word says, you know, let's put to one side, push it aside. Don't get it, let yourself get entangled with these things. And the devil so easily can, a few thoughts, and next thing you know, you're wrapped up in these thoughts, and these thoughts are wrapped up in you.
And he snared you.
And all of a sudden, you're tripping up.
Because when you come to think God's done everything, all we've got to do is walk in it, and we make it so difficult, don't we? I mean, I do. I think, you know, all this is coming up think, as if it's new, but God knew all about it. He's made provision for everything, so why am I wrinkling and bothering? You know, you just, when you think about it and talk about it, you realise that everything's finished, because Jesus has said it's finished, didn't he?
Absolutely.
He's not going to do anything. It's just up to us to walk in what he's prepared for us to do.
Absolutely.
Just got to walk it out.
Well, it's like having a shield. That's all I can think of.
Mm.
Just a shield. You just can't lose.
Mm.
You can.
And
you see, we think we lose at times because our eyes are focused on the things of the world.
Mm.
But it's like the hymn writer said, but the things of the world will grow strangely dim in the light and the glory of the presence of God.
Mm.
And the things of the world will grow dim. The closer we get to the glory of God, the things of the world will grow much dimmer. And we'll be in a place of non-existence, because his glory will just, as a photographer, if you apply too much light in certain areas, you can burn out the picture. Well, when the glory of God comes down, it will burn out those areas that hinder us.
Yeah.
And that's where we need to be, focusing on him. Having our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of God. Wow. For he considered him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. The word says there, you have not yet resisted to the point of bloodshed in your striving against sin. The word of God is pressing us into coming out like a beautiful diamond, like precious silver who's been refined in the fire 7 times. It's done 7 times because each time it's reheated, the more dross appears on the surface, and the silversmith removes the dross yet again, allows it to cool down, and in the cooling down process there's a separating going on deep within it, not seen by the naked eye, but then when the heat again is applied, this dross then again appears to the surface and it's removed. And then the silversmith does this 7 times. 7's a perfect number in God.
Mm-hmm.
The number of perfection.
It is.
Spiritual perfection. And silver is used in the Word of God, in the Bible, as a redemptive material.
Yeah.
Silver is the redemptive money for sin. Refined in the fire seven times to be pure. And in that purity, we're redeemed into the presence of God.
Yeah.
So silver is there to, as a symbol to you and I, for the redemptive work of God working in our lives.
Yeah,
there's been a refining fire on the purchase of you and me.
Thank you, God.
And there's a refining fire that is bringing you and I to absolute spiritual, absolute perfection in God.
Yeah.
It's God's intention. We sing that song, don't we, at times? Refine as fire.
Mm-hmm.
Did we sing it last week?
Yeah.
There it's the fire of God. It doesn't destroy us, it brings us more into the image of God. It brings us to a place of greater beauty in His presence. And that's what the fire of God does to us. It's not there to destroy.
Get rid of the flesh, isn't it?
It's to get rid of that flesh, the old flesh man. That wants to stand up and say, what about me? What about me?
Look at me, look at me.
When God say, no, look at me.
Yeah.
God say, no, look at me. I'm the author. I'm the finisher of your faith. I'm the Alpha. I'm the Omega. I am the first. I am the last. And guess what? Nothing else will exist beyond me. This is God. This is the God we serve. Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? There is none. There is none. In Christ Jesus. The grave could not hold our Lord Jesus in the tomb. He says he rose from the dead. Spent time with his disciples for over 50 days, praise God. To prove that death has no sting. It has no victory. And thank God that, you know, in this salvation that he's given to us, he's given us so much freedom. He's given so much life to us. He's given us life that is eternal. So people, put your foot down. Put your foot down and tell the devil exactly where he can get off. Use the word of God against him.
Yeah.
Take these scriptures. Hold fast. Hold fast. The profession of your faith without wavering.
Yeah.
Don't get blown about by fears, doubts, unbelief. That just gives fire to fear.
Mm.
And fear paralyzes faith.
Yeah.
Mm. And God says, I've not created you for fear.
Mm-hmm.
365 times in the Bible it says, fear not.
Mm.
Fear not, one for every day.
Mm.
So every morning you get up, you can look in the mirror and say, John, fear not. There's one for today. And he said, I will never leave you. Never is a big word.
Mm.
Never is a long, long time. And he said,
faithful to that promise.
And he is faithful to his promise. That's right. He cannot deny it himself. So he's faithful to that promise. I'll never leave you. I mean, you and I have heard people say, oh, well, you can always count on me.
Wow.
I tell you something, when I hear a human being say that, you can always count on me, I cringe. I think, oh, here we go, here's a challenge. I'll not let you down. I think, yeah, right, I've heard this time and time and time and time again. And I have to struggle. I sometimes do get disappointed with it when it happens. But then again, I've got to pick myself up and say, well, thank God, God said he'd never leave me and never forsake me. And guess what? After 40 odd years, he's never done it.
No.
He's always been there with me. When I've stumbled and fallen, he's been there to pick me up. He's never missed a day.
No.
He's never missed an appointment. He is faithful. He is faithful.
Mm.
Just let me, you know, re-emphasize that. He is faithful. He's not trying to be faithful. The very essence of God is he is faithful.
Mm.
He's dependable.
Oh, man.
You can always count on him. And just because it didn't happen today, that does not mean that God has suddenly not become faithful.
No.
Because he says he changes not.
Mm-hmm.
God does not change. So that means I've got to change. You've got to change. Everybody's got to change. If they don't, they're not going to receive the blessings and the fullness of the Godhead in their lives. So be encouraged, folks. Put your foot down.
Do you know what I think? I think the devil, he ain't got no new tricks. And I think sometimes if we sit down and think, do you know, he always gets me with this one.
He knows you each one. He always gets me with my head, I know. I shouldn't be knowing me now.
Put your foot down.
Yeah. Well, I was sort of drawing a line in the sand and drawing that many lines in the sand lately.
Keep drawing them, Joan. Take them back off.
Absolutely.
But I tell you, he does. He knows just where to press your butt.
Mm.
And he never got any new ideas.
No.
Because he's not a creative.
No,
he's not. He's a flesh devil, isn't he?
He's not creative in his ways.
I think fear is his biggest weapon. I think that is
when you boil down yeah.
what your weakness is, it'll come back down, I think,
that's
to fear
nine
times out of ten.
There's two things you've got on, fear and hatred.
Mm.
True.
Yeah, the fruit of the spirit is the opposite.
Yeah, it is.
Love,
faith and love.
Joy.
Mm.
Peace.
Yes.
Mm. Love and peace.
Yeah.
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 Overcome fear and hatred.
Yeah, they do.
God's slot of joy right in the middle.
There you go. The joy of the Lord shall be your strength. Not happiness, as we saw, we're talking the other week. It's not happiness. Happiness comes from things. You've all, you know, quite a few of you have got your little radios and your MP3 player, etc. You'll be quite happy. Or hopefully when you start using it, it'll develop you. When you start hearing the word, it will make you joyful. As you spend time in the presence of God.
You can't help but be joyful, can you? Because you come out shouting and whooping.
Praise his wonderful name.
Can I just mention about this testimony in one of these letters from Reinhard Bonnke's ministry? It was about... No, it's not that one. It's about this little girl that in this midwestern town they got that had no rain and all the crops were dying. And it was really getting serious, and so the third round we were going to have a prayer time in church, so they all went to prayer time at church, and this little girl come with her umbrella, and everybody kind of started laughing. This is what you're doing with your umbrella. She says, well, we're going to pray for rain, aren't we? She said, I don't want to get wet going away from church. And they all went, and that pulled them up then. They thought, of course, that's what we're doing. So they prayed for rain. Later that afternoon, it rained, clouds come over, and it rained, and it rained for 3 days, and all the crops, and they had a bumper crop that time, best they'd ever had. And I thought, you know, we just pray, expecting God's answer, but do we? She would expect
it. She got actions, didn't she? It showed the faith.
And she's shown them all up. They all really had to repent. They had come to pray, but they didn't expect God to answer.
Simple faith.
Yeah.
Having the childlike faith.
Yeah.
And if we're going to pray for something, then we need to act as if we've received it.
Yeah.
The Bible says you have not because you ask not.
Mm.
And it says, when we ask of God, he says, well, if you ask for bread, will he give you a stone?
No.
No. So, when we ask for something, we have to operate in faith, believing that he has already answered that. And believe that God is faithful and just to meet us in that need. Daniel. Prayed 3 times a day. Got into trouble for it. Ended up in the lion's den. But God shut the mouth of the lions. The king was up all night. Can you imagine pacing backwards and forwards, thinking, oh, it's Daniel, oh, you know, oh, what's going to happen to him and that. See, the king did not really fully know Daniel's God. He knew of his God. Daniel slept well that night.
But he snuggled up to one of them.
There he is, down in that lion pit, laid amongst the lions. What a bed to be laid in, eh? Warm and comfortable.
Clearing.
Nice girl.
Cuddled up between these beautiful lions. And the king came in the morning, first, you know, literally his day broke. Mm. Screaming his head off, Daniel, 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 Daniel! Then he says, Don't worry, I'm fine. Get him out. Can you imagine? The king's so annoyed, he gets the other guys and throws them in, and it's like the banquet for the lions, and the lions devoured a lot of them. And they didn't touch the floor before the lions took all of them. Why? Because his God is faithful. And Daniel had faith in his God. We would have said, hang on just a minute, can we not work this out? Because I have seen what lions are capable of. You know, I mean, have you seen the size of the claws and them teeth? I mean, and that other lion over there has got bad breath, and I'm sorry.
I've seen with him.
Can we not come up with another idea, God, maybe, just to, you know, can you not do it, like, now, before I get in there, could you not do something now?
Rapture, Lord.
Yeah, rapture would be good, Lord, you know. Beam us up.
I don't believe in it.
But no, God, let him go through that lion's den situation. You and I would have got in that lion's den, probably, and said, hang on, where's God in this?
Yeah. And the fiery furnace.
Then there's the fiery furnace. There's Paul in prison.
Yeah.
And Silas has sat beside him in prison, and he's saying, fine mess you've got me in tonight, Paul, isn't it? I said you and your big mouth would get us into trouble one of these days. We've been whipped, beaten. Now we're in a dark dungeon, and it's freezing cold, and I'm miserable. And Paul says, let's sing.
Paul's singing.
No, he said, no, he said, let's sing. And Silas says, are you mad? They've already given us a beating for opening his mouth, and now you want me to sing? Yeah, let's sing. And he began to worship God. And it says, and the ground shook.
Somebody said God tapping his foot. God
came down. Shook the earth, and the door fell off its hinges. Their chains fell off.
Oh wow, their chains fell off.
I mean, come on, you know, these guys are chained, and all of a sudden, how do chains fall off? If it is purely an earthquake, your chains that are around your wrist are not going to come off.
There were angels there pulling them off.
But tell you, the ground shook by the presence of Almighty God and his ministering spirits, and broke those bondages and set them free.
Wow, if that's not a lesson, get singing.
Put your foot down. Rejoice.
Yeah.
In everything, give thanks, because that is the will of God, that you and I give thanks.
Yeah.
And we will see signs and wonders and miracles. God will move. Because God moves because of faith. God sees your faith. God says, I'm moving on that. Because that is part of God, you see. God is faith. So when he sees you moving faith out, and your faith is growing and it's moving forward, God says, I'm in that. And God's spirit is on that. And it changes things. It causes things to happen. But it's that faith. Faith is not will. You hear Christians pray, if it be thy will, O God. No, find out what faith is about.
You've got to understand the true meaning of what faith is.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen.
Yeah, this is it.
And you know, it's a complicated mixed up formula in there, and it's only understood in the mystery and the outworking of the word of God. And when we begin to realise that it's not your will that is causing that faith, it's you moving in that faith with God. It's you that's saying, I'm believing God. And your will has to submit to your faith.
Yeah.
I think when you read the Bible as well, because I think... if you ask a non-Christian person about faith, you know, how can you define the word faith? Do you know what I mean? I think you've got to get yourself in the Word, the Bible, and that's how you will... It'll come to you. You'll learn what faith is, if you know what I mean. You've got to...
You see, the world's level of faith...
I'm making sense.
Yeah, what happens is the world's level of faith, right, is like you coming in here tonight... You sat on a chair. Mm. Did you test that chair to see whether it was okay before you sat on it?
No.
Why?
She had faith.
You had faith in that chair.
Yeah.
That chair had the strength to uphold you. Yeah? Tonight, those of us who have cars will go outside. You will not go out there thinking... Oh, I wonder if it'll start tonight. You just simply go out there and you'll get in. If it doesn't start, that's when you'll be shocked.
Yeah.
You're not even giving it a second thought, are you?
True.
And yet when it comes to God, who is faith, who is more faithful, whose battery never gets flat... We have less faith in him than we do in getting into a motor car and turning the key. Strange, why didn't it start? Always starts. You know, we've said it, haven't we? Never gave a sign or of a hint it was fading. Wonder what's wrong. But God, you see, it's probably been neglected. So that's a good point, that.
Yeah.
Battery's been neglected. Didn't it top it up? Left it, didn't run it down a bit. Motorbikes are very susceptible to that. You go in, press the button. What's the matter? Oh, wasn't on charge. And you put them on trickle charge. So all the time, 24/7, they've been trickled a little bit of power.
You see, this is why you've got to keep reading the Bible, because you can't just pick God up and think, oh, I've got a problem, God, and... It's not there.
No, it's got to be a constant trickle charge.
It's got to be constant, because you don't feel, because I found out what Bill says, he's coming more into it, and it's amazing just what, I mean, I thought it was wonderful on Sunday.
It was.
And then Bill got up and said, I just thought it was wonderful, it was. I just really enjoyed that, and then I was just speaking, I just felt like I needed to say what I said.
Mm.
And wow, that... I just felt so at peace, so that I wanted, and I knew I'd got to share all that. I didn't know I had.
But like the previous Sunday as well, you know, Bill brought a scripture reading.
Yeah.
It was absolutely
spot on. I really enjoyed what he said. It was fabulous. Mm.
But you see, it's the honesty. And it's, look, this is where I was at, this is where I'm going now, this is where I've suddenly realised. And I know Bish, my friend Bish, would say of people, you know, some people, they come to Christ and then they're on the journey of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Some get saved immediately and there's a complete sudden transformation and that's it. Others, it is a process that goes on. And Bill has been in the process.
The thing that's happened most, that's
encouraging is that even in the process, he stayed the course.
Yes.
Yeah, he admits. He's had his ups and downs, he's had his challenges and etc. But he stayed the course.
Oh,
man. And that is the important thing, you see. Because the Word then has had chance to work on him.
That scripture.
You get an excited feeling, don't you, Bill?
Yeah.
That with it, and you feel it's like as if God even gets excited, because you feel, think, this is what I want you to do, and you just feel that's what I feel like, that's what he wants you to do. that's when the relationship, because I mean, I felt it, and I think what Bill says, it's wonderful.
It's precious. It's a precious time. And as we draw closer to God,
He
draws closer to us.
Well.
Oh, God has a wonderful sense of humour. He says, God laughs, he says. Hallelujah.
We just keep getting put off because His ways are not our ways. And we envisage the way He's going to sort it all out. And when He doesn't, and when it gets really dark and He throws us into the lion's den,
testing out,
and then we squeal,
and He says, "I'm testing you."
But that's not the time. Quit.
Now, guest, I'll tell you what. There's going to be times when you all feel like saying, "I've had enough."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But guess what?
Part of
your home. It's all part of God's work and development in each and every one of us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What talents have you got in there? What talents have you got in there that He's given you?
Well, you don't grow if you don't listen to things like that.
No, you don't.
There's something somewhere about being lively stones.
That's right.
Yeah.
The Word of God says we're lively stones. The house of God, but it's lively. And so we're living and breathing, and the Word of God is to be ever present in us, and it is the Word. It is the Word that gives us life.
Yeah, it is.
This Word is God breathed. Okay.
Yeah.
And if you consider that for a moment, God breathed. Consider that statement. When did you first hear that? When did you first read that? In Genesis. God breathed into Adam. God breathed into Adam. And in the same way, when we partake of this Word, which is God breathed, He's breathing life into you. He's breathing life into you. He's breathing Himself into you and me. What? Well, if you can grasp that, if I can grasp that even, He's breathing Himself into me. Because that is what He did in the garden.
That's what He did at creation.
With Adam, He breathed, yeah, and God said right at the beginning, "Let us." Oh, it's there again, isn't it? Let us make man in our own image. Let us. God said to the Word, Jesus, to the Holy Spirit, let us create the earth and everything that is in it. Let us do it. I tell you, there's a lot in this.
Yeah.
We could dig and go on and move it forward, but we may have to leave that for another night, another day. But praise God, but you can listen to that again and begin to think about when did this first happen? God breathed into Adam, and today, every time you read this book, God is breathing into you.
Thank you, Jesus. Mm.
If you want, it's like kissing the lips of God.
Yeah.
And I am not being irreverent when I say that. Because if God is going to breathe into Adam,
yeah.
He gave him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation.
Yeah.
Right?
That's where it came from.
Yeah.
He breathed life into him. Yeah.
Human resuscitation hardly ever works. Can I just say that?
Oh, really?
Very rare you'll bring somebody around when you're doing CPR.
Right. But yet, when God brings you round,
brings life all the time.
Every time, never fails. So God, remember, every time you get in this Bible, God is breathing life into you. Breathing Himself, something of Himself, into you and I. That ought to make us jump for joy.
Oh, it does.
Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. Well, the Lord bless you. Be here on Sunday. Be equipped. Fired up with the Word of God, having breathed in the Spirit of God through these next few days and through this Word, and then rehearse it and just bring it on Sunday. pray for us whilst we're away in Romania. That God will move in power, and that we will see the hand of God, and we will see the glory of God breaking through those barriers, breaking through that religious spirit, and we will see the power of God moving in a mighty way, and we shall be praying for you.
Amen.
We don't know our itinerary yet.
Yeah.
We shall only know when we arrive at our destination, and when we know that, we will send you the itinerary, and you can put us on the prayer list, because we shall need the covering of the people of God, and we shall need you to continue to breathe life into the heavenly realms and to declare the glory of God where we're going. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you for being here. You've been a wonderful congregation.
Amen.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you for tonight.
But it says in Hebrews 10, doesn't it, that when he's talking about the faith and the promise, and God is faithful, and it says keep meeting together and encouraging one another.
That's
right. You encourage one another, you challenge one another, and you stir up faith one another.
Iron sharpens iron.
That's what we do every Wednesday, isn't it?
Yeah. In the relaxed atmosphere.
I said, though, into that coal, when you take it out, if you don't come together, you don't burn out, don't you?
Yeah.
Just dying ember.
How are we going to bring this to church on Sunday? What I do with it? So Lynn said I could fetch it tonight. It was just something that had come to me. And it's Samuel 22. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my saviour. You save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
That rejoicing again, isn't it?
And I found this, and I thought it was just a little thing. And it's all about tonight, if I can find it. That little tiny thing. Look.